Welcome to the Canon Quarantina. How's it going, everybody? Hope you're enjoying being stuck inside your house all the time. No escape. This is Mike broadcasting from Salt Lake Basin on planet Utah. And this is kind of a special episode because I got dad man himself, Jesse, on the show. Jesse, how's it going, man?
Dad man. It's going well, man. I'm really excited to be on, hopefully permanently. It's crazy about this quarantine is... my life was already quarantined for months. My wife was on bed rest and then in the hospital on bed rest. And we were told not to interact with anybody, to not infect our child in the NICU. Crazy things. And then, of course, we were like, oh, we finally get to get out and show our baby off to our family. Some members of our family haven't even seen the baby. And maybe our friends. And then of course the quarantine hit, which is crazy. And it's been a wild ride. It's been a crazy time. And I still went to work for quite some time, Mike. I don't know if you knew that, but being in the medical field.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah.
Yeah, it was still going on. So I'm finally home now though. Fully home, working
home.
Working full time from home as of now. Yeah.
He's saying all this with a youngling strapped to him. So
that's right.
Don't ever doubt Jesse's dedication to Star Wars and podcasting in general.
That's right. Just need to get her a C-3PO costume or something.
So we're just going to kind of talk through some news. It's not a huge news cycle, like compared to when we got the announcements of like the High Republic and everything.
Sure.
But before we get to the news, we do have our Twitter contest going on. This is Star Wars Madness, our March Madness inspired 64 character bracket. And this has been a lot of fun. We've gotten to the Sweet 16. It's going on right now. I think it ends at the end of the day tomorrow. Our four regionals, we've got our characters from four different sources. Everything kind of randomized, and I came up with seeds for everybody. And we've had a lot of great upsets. One matchup go to double overtime, ended in an exact tie twice. That was Finn and Babu Frick.
Man.
So I just want to go through the active voting that you can check out at our Twitter at the Canon Cantina. So in our corporate sector regional, we've got the overall number one seed, Luke Skywalker.
Of course.
Taking on number four, Poe, and things aren't looking good for Poe. It's a 90-10% in the voting. But, you know, maybe that's something that you would expect. But the other matchup in that regional that's very interesting, we have number two, Din Djarin the Mandalorian, taking on number six, C-3PO. 3PO coming off of a big upset of Jyn Erso in the previous round, which I did not expect.
Wow. Okay. It's getting pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this one, and, you know, the Mandalorian's attitude towards droids at the beginning of the series.
Of course.
This is not going to end well for poor 3PO.
No, it's not.
In our next regional, the Deep Core regional, which the winner of the Deep Core will face off against the winner of the corporate sector in the Final Four. Deep Core regional, we have an upset brewing. Right now, number one seed Rey is losing just 57-43 to Chewie, who's a number four, which is great. Hashtag General Chewbacca. Let's get all that going in there. And the other matchup in there, I think that any of our matchups that involve Obi-Wan, I think people just have like Obi-Wan Kenobi set up as Twitter alerts because we always get the most votes in his matchups.
That's right.
Number two, Obi-Wan is taking on and dominating right now number six, R2-D2. But R2-D2 is a six seed coming off of upsetting Kylo Ren in the previous round. So that was something completely unexpected too.
Why do you make me choose Obi-Wan and R2? It's like two of my literal favorite characters. It's not, oh, it's Jesse and Star Wars characters. No, it's like those are in my top. It's rough. It's rough. Well, it's kind of like when I was last on and we were talking about this, Mike. Grievous and Hondo. I mean, what a perfect matchup.
Oh, yeah, that was the first one that went to overtime, too.
Yeah, of course it did. Perfect matchup. Yeah, it's tough.
All right, over in the Naboo regional. This one has been pretty standard so far, all of the higher seeds winning. But Right now, number one, Han Solo, is locked in a dead tie with his father-in-law, Anakin Skywalker.
That's awesome. That's a good so matchup. 50-50.
And the other side of the bracket, this is just a stacked bracket, because number two seed Leia, this is an update since I last looked at it, she is just barely losing by a couple percent to the child, the asset, Baby Yoda, whatever you want to call him.
That's right. Man.
Very, very close matchups there. And then the winner of the Naboo regional is going to take on the winner of the Pasana regional, which has been crazy. This has been our regional bracket with all the upsets and overtimes. Because the number one seed, Ahsoka Tano, lost last round. She didn't even make it to the Sweet 16. I thought with all this Clone War stuff going on, she would be kind of a shoo-in. But she was upset by number eight Yoda. We got a lot of Yoda stands out there.
You know it.
And so number eight Yoda is taking on Lando Calrissian, the five seed, who upset Mara Jade in the first round, which is something that I didn't think was a guarantee.
No.
So number eight seed Yoda, if he makes it another round or two, we can probably call that the Cinderella story of this bracket. And then the other matchup in this regional, talked about already, but Finn had an epic double overtime game where he barely survived Babu Frick, only to walk into the red lightsaber of the Dark Order of the Sith. He's getting crushed by Darth Vader.
It sounds like Finn. Cheap death for a long time.
Yeah.
Get lucky.
So, and then so unless all the Finn stands log on and change all this before the end of the day tomorrow, Vader is moving on to the Elite Eight in a landslide. So thanks to everybody that has been voting in this and liking and retweeting and helping get the word out.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. And not everything. My biggest fear was that it was going to be boring. That like, all these top seeds are going to win everything. And that hasn't been the case. We've had two matches with overtimes. I had no idea, no plan what to do with overtime because I didn't think it was ever going to happen. So that was fun to figure out. So that is our hashtag. This is SW Madness.
Love it.
Thanks, everybody, for participating. We'll get some updates on our Twitter once these matchups are done and we make it to the round of eight.
Yeah, and who would have known that real sports would have been canceled, Mike? So this is perfect.
Right? this is the weirdest timeline, if maybe also the darkest.
That's right. So speaking of that, I mean, it's just what can people do right now being stuck indoors, Mike? So we talked about Clone Wars coming out, all the new seasons, and I'm sure a lot of people are binging the old seasons of Clone Wars, not only to get caught up and maybe watch the new content. I had several people reach out to me and tell me I'm finally watching Clone Wars. Jesse, it's awesome. Thank you for pushing me for all these years to watch it. Now they're watching it because there's a new season, not because of me at all. But that aside, like any other Star Wars related content, because we know the Rise of Skywalker is coming very soon, Mike. Is it now? Is it out?
Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, I know it's out on to rent, but I mean the physical copy and then the eventual Disney Plus streaming. They talked about it coming pretty soon.
The physical copies are on sale tomorrow, actually.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah. So in case you've missed it, we are not doing weekly recaps of the Clone Wars.
No.
We've decided to just review the story arcs as a whole. And if you look back, I think at the last episode I posted, I reviewed that with our new review format, The Balance, looking at the good and the bad, the light and the dark of everything, which was a lot of fun to do with Clone Wars and the Rise of Kylo Ren comic. We are two episodes into the current Ahsoka arc, so once it wraps, then we'll do a review of this middle arc of our new set of Clone Wars episodes.
Right, and of course there's going to be other arcs after that too, Mike, with this final season of Clone Wars. Of course, we know the Mandalore arc is coming up with Maul and everything too. So I like the idea of you breaking them up. I think it's a great idea that you had. And I know people probably want, some people want an episode by episode review, but looking at the arc as a whole.
A lot of people are doing that. And I've listened to a few and they're great, but that's just not something that we are currently equipped to do
right
now that we are both we were both planning on being with the kids a lot, but not literally all day, every day, where you can't get anything else done.
Right. Right.
Well, so while we're on that, I know that when we did our season two relaunch of the show, I had all these great plans and ideas for things I was going to do while Jesse was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only going to be able to do those because I would still take my kid to daycare for a half day every now and then, and his grandparents would take him for an entire day on Thursdays. All of that's gone. And it's really hard to, you know, watch Attack of the Clones with the director commentary on and pay attention and take notes with a two and a half year old running around needing your attention all the time. So I really do want to get back to that limited series comments on commentary.
Oh, yeah.
My other like produced audio effects scripted thing is just going to have to get kicked to the back burner again. I've got some stuff written on it, but I just can't sit down and, you know, do that stuff. And it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm having a good time with my youngling.
Well,
we've started watching the first season of Rebels, the less scary episodes, and he loves it. He stole my my ghost model from the X-Wing miniatures game and just flies it all around all the time now. It's his.
Oh, yeah. Great model, by the way. Great model for that game.
Oh, yeah. But maybe when the real world gets some normalcy back, then we'll get back to our ambitious release schedule and the types of content that we want to do, but just the real world's not letting us right now.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? That's kind of the irony of things, is like, we're at home more, but we actually have less time to podcast.
That's very true.
I was thinking about that today when I was working from home for, you know, over 8 hours. My hours haven't changed. They haven't gotten better or anything. But at the same time, I had this one here to take care of off and on the whole time. And then, of course, immediately after I got off work, let my wife sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, my. There it is.
Oh, hi, baby.
There she is.
Oh, the younglings. So the next thing we have in our list here, this isn't news. This is just a little bit of speculation, I guess. As you all know, we got to do a live show on the podcast stage at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago last year.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. It was one of the coolest things we've ever done.
Oh, without a doubt.
The way things are going, I think there is a greater than 50% chance that Celebration gets canceled or postponed this year.
Absolutely.
Which is a bummer. I think the closest thing like on the calendar to Celebration that's been affected is the Olympics, pushed back a year, and those were supposed to happen in early August. Celebration's happening the last weekend in August. It's a huge bummer because, you know, I'd been hoping that we would get to go out to Anaheim as part of the podcast stage, and even if we didn't get invited to do that, just hoping to get to go again because it was so much fun. But I'm willing to bet that Celebration's getting postponed. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. I was thinking about this too, Mike, today. There's a lot of other big cons around that time of the year. Gen Con is a good example of one of those cons. They haven't canceled it yet, but I was thinking to myself, the second Gen Con's canceled, Celebration gets canceled. But I think you're right. And what's even more disheartening is I don't think we'll know for a while. And at the same time, I guarantee the podcast stage and all the creator stages and stuff, the stuff that we're really invested in, we'd love to do again. I don't even think they're thinking about that stuff at all.
Like, yeah,
and so even if Celebration happens, I don't necessarily think the creator stages are going to even happen because they're going to have too many people working on other more important things just to make it happen if it does happen.
That's true. And it sounds whiny from us, and I guess it is a little bit because that's just something that we were really looking forward to.
That's right.
You know, if they push it back a year, though, you won't have quite the youngling to take care of. Maybe it'd be easier for you to go.
It certainly would, actually.
Yeah. So. Maybe find a silver lining in there. So I hope that things get fixed in the next month or so and they are actually able to move forward with Celebration and everything. Actually, haven't looked at the website where you can buy resold tickets. I wonder what that's looking like in this current COVID climate. It's a bummer just because these days you're trying to look forward to anything happening out of the house. And that was kind of the next big thing on our Star Wars radar because we have that. And right after celebration is when Project Luminous, it's called the High Republic now, goes on sale. And hopefully that can still happen. We still get some books in August at least.
Of course. I mean, that would be the ultimate quarantine activity, is diving into this whole new Star Wars world and Star Wars timeline. But yeah, it is a huge bummer, Mike. But at the same time, we got to be practical here and look at it on paper. Like, going to a convention with thousands of people is probably the worst thing you could potentially do.
Yeah. Let's all go quarantine. Let's go in this convention center and a Disneyland.
Yeah. I mean, everyone already develops con cred every time. I mean, you and I were miserable by the end. And just imagine, I mean, just the spread would be unreal. So they might just be taking precautions earlier than later. Just to nip it in the bud, maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something happier. It has been all but confirmed. We haven't seen our StarWars.com posts, so I won't believe anything's official.
Same.
Until I see it there. But it seems all but confirmed that Rosario Dawson has been cast to play live-action Ahsoka Tano in Season 2 of The Mandalorian. I am super on the hype train for this. Big fan of Rosario Dawson. If they were going to put Ahsoka in live action, which I still think is a bad idea, but if they're going to do it, this seems like really great casting to me. What do you think about it?
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of fans have been singing her praises for years and kind of touting that she do the role. And I think she's a perfect fit. Obviously, she looks like the character, and obviously she's a great actress, and she's got a great record of work. And it'd be really nice to get an actress of that caliber playing such a major female role in Star Wars, like a role that's so loved. And it's interesting. And the weird, strange part about this, Mike, thinking about it, is Ahsoka's been probably in more content than most of our live action characters. And it's weird for Ashley to not be playing Ahsoka, but I get it completely. But it's just something interesting to talk about.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you. There have been fans disappointed by the casting or hoping that we have a Darth Maul voice in Solo situation where Ashley would voice the character. I don't think that would work as well as it did in Solo, because that was just like a brief hologram. And I don't know, this just based on my memory, I think that Ray Park and Sam Witwer sound a bit more alike, and it's not visually jarring like it would be to hear Ashley's voice come out of Rosario Dawson's mouth.
Well, and the fun fact there, Mike, is Ray never did any Maul voice actor work. That was a different actor.
Exactly. Yeah.
So intentionally, he doesn't have the voice for Maul, and that's perfectly fine. Maul was always played by a different actor, and I forget the actor's name, but the actor did do episode one, and that was all his only credit. And then that point onward, it was always Sam. So, but you're right. Like, think about an actress as well known as Rosario Dawson with a different actress's voice. It's just probably not a good idea. And, you know, Maul is a little bit more of a monster looking type character. He's still humanoid, of course, but there's just a lot of things where it's like, if the character was a droid or you know, more of a more pronounced alien, all these sort of things, that could work potentially. But Ahsoka's pretty humanoid. You know what I mean? It just seems strange. It just seems like a mistake. And I get it.
And I don't mean this as I'm like putting Ashley down. She does a great job as Ahsoka. She's a great voice actress, but she's just not the caliber of actor as Rosario Dawson. Physically looks, you know, different enough that, anyway, I've said before, I think putting her in live action isn't the greatest idea to begin with, but if you're going to do it, Rosario Dawson's a great way to go.
Yeah, and I'm just interested to see how they bring the character to live action canonically. Like, what happens? Because we know visually how she looks and how she sounds in the current medium, which is canon. So how do you kind of pivot in a respectful way to Ashley's performance, but also just pivot where Rosario can actually do her own artistic take on the character, you know, and just where Ahsoka is at that time. And I think that's going to help too, it being an older Ahsoka, this post Return of the Jedi Ahsoka.
Yeah.
That's going to help. And that makes perfect sense too. Rosario's age does add up with that timeline and everything. So I'm super into it. I'm kind of, the thing I'm most bummed about, Mike, and I don't even call this a hot take, but I kind of hate that I know this is happening. Because, I mean, The Mandalorian already had so many twists and turns and surprises that they kept under wraps that were so impressive, like the child. And, you know, and just even some of the history of the of Mandalore and all this type of stuff. It was so much more exciting. And especially in that week-to-week format.
For sure.
You know, in that week-to-week format, rather than dropping the whole show Netflix style, that could have been not so great. Not so great for spoilers, but I if Ahsoka's coming in season two, I would have really loved to see her just appear on screen in a heroic way.
Yeah. And it's great news for fans. She is going to be in one episode as a quest giver. I would be willing to put money on that. Similar to, you know, Ming-Na Wen's role as Fennec Shand in that one episode five, I think.
Yeah.
Ahsoka obviously wouldn't be an assassin or villain. She would just be a one episode side character to The Mandalorian. If they put her in a couple episode arc, that's great. But if you put her in too much, you risk Ahsoka overtaking The Mandalorian's story.
You're right. It's the exact same thing that Dave said about Rebels, where Ahsoka and Vader appeared in certain episodes, and he said that that was the maximum that they could appear, because if Ahsoka or Vader appeared more, especially Vader, well, it's no longer a show about the crew of the Ghost. It's a show about Vader hunting them down, Vader's story during this timeline. So you're right. They can't do too much. I think they need to do more than like the assassin you mentioned in season one, just because if Ahsoka has that short of a part and it's not that impactful of a plot, maybe it will be impactful of a plot. That will be kind of a letdown in the way of, I don't know, it just, why not have someone else, you know, just a new character.
Yeah. It's because it's Dave Filoni and he's not capable of coming up with good new ideas anymore. We know that Ahsoka is never going to die.
It's true.
So he can just put her in the sequel series for it.
I don't think it's a Dave thing. I think it's a Disney money thing, and everyone loves Ahsoka. That's pretty much a fact. So money.
How dare you rationalize my nemesis like that?
I mean, Dave was probably the guy who was like, hey, I'd like to put Ahsoka in live action just as much as everyone else, but are we sure we should do this? You know? And they're like, do you want to keep this job? He's like, yes, I do. I would like to be a live action director.
So just one last bit on this. Do you think that The Mandalorian is going to hit its October release window? I think I remember reading somewhere that they'd actually already done most of the filming of it before the outbreak started. So that's encouraging if they're able to just do all the post stuff remotely. I guess they would have problems with reshoots and things like that. But are you hopeful that they'll still hit October for season two?
I'm definitely hopeful, and I'm definitely believing they will, because they did finish production. I think they can do a lot of this stuff. You know, there's a lot of post at this point, and I think
that
you can do a lot of post in quarantine, you hope. I mean, Favreau was doing The Mandalorian season one, and then at night he was doing post for Lion King. So the man is a machine. I believe he can make it through a quarantine. So I am hopeful. I think Dave and Favreau together with their teams will be completely fine, because, you know, they did post quite a while back that they finished filming, which was really exciting. It's exciting they finished filming like right on the heels of the show being really successful in the mainstream too. Like they had enough faith to just kind of go through with season two before that kind of was confirmed fully. And then season one finished and it was kind of confirmed fully. And there's like literal brand new Star Wars fans looking up what the Darksaber is and stuff. I mean, it's pretty exciting time for new people coming to Star Wars.
You remember how big of a deal it was that Obi-Wan got delayed, and
I do.
You know, look at us. Look at us now. 4 or 5 weeks later, it would have been delayed anyway.
Yeah,
because of this happening.
This is actually less disappointing.
Push Cassian back.
Yeah, this is less disappointing. Obi-Wan being delayed, because now they can do it proper. It being cut halfway through or a quarter through, like for instance, the new Bond film was, that would be not so great. I mean, continuity errors abound and, you know, it's probably for the best. So, and who knows what's ever going to happen with Cassian and K2.
Yeah. Hopefully it does happen.
Oh gosh. I hope so much.
Oh my goodness. We have a guest here in the canon quarantina. Just
bring that in the picture. Hey, Jesse.
Hi. Did she see this so child?
That voice you're hearing is my wife, Caitlin. She brought us a cocktail that Jesse helped craft for us because we've got supplies, and unfortunately he doesn't over there right now.
Yeah, I envy it.
So we'll just stick this in the show here, right here. Why not? So can you tell us a little bit about this cocktail that Jesse, who is a great, what's the fancy cocktail maker name? I know there's a word for
mixologist, it. Mixologist, I think, is the fancy
mixologist name. That's the word I couldn't think of. Jesse is a great mixologist. Name. Yes, that too. It's pretentious. But I asked him for some Star Wars inspired cocktail. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, we just made up a cocktail on the spot before the show started. But basically, it's just a variation of the New Orleans Cezerac. We're going to call it the Corellian Spike. And it's essentially a Cezerac, which is a rye cocktail with different various bitters. Except we're using Mike's super fancy flavored bitters, and we're taking a little different approach. We're kind of mixing different bitters here and, you know, a little bit of sugar, right, to bring it fully out. It's just another one of those turn of the century cocktails that's not quite an old fashioned, but something different.
And I'm about to have my first taste. If the Corellian Spike turns out to be good, maybe we'll post the recipe on our Facebook or something.
Yeah, we'll see. Right. We will try it. I don't even know what type of rye you used, Mike. I'm curious about that.
I like it. We used the High West Rendezvous rye.
Excellent choice.
A local rye. Yeah, it's good. It's
delicious. Perfect.
Awesome.
I approve. I like it.
The Corellian Spike. It's approved.
We'll post some pictures later. Yeah, you can't neglect the cherries. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's in there, too.
A Star Wars sure. Cezerac is a happy drink.
Thank you. All right. Well, that was a good segue away from depressing things like show delays and things like that. Let's talk about something a lot more fun. Something that you and I both love. Special features.
That's right. We've grown up loving special features probably more than most kids our age, Mike, and it's something that I just devour. I could, and something I like to rewatch too, because I feel like I learn things.
For sure. You know, thinking about it, we might like special features as much as we just like Star Wars.
That's true. That's very true. Well, case in point are those prequel special features. Some would say they're as good or better than the prequels. So that's a thing.
Take that as a compliment or not, depending on your prequel.
I mean,
preference.
There's some great moments in that, like, you know. Just Rick McCollum saying over and over again, it's effing grim. It's effing grim. Oh, about Rick. The sandstorm that destroyed all the pod racers. yeah, there's some good stuff. But yeah, special features are a really nice way to kind of like showcase your love of something because you're seeing these people who are brilliant at what they do creating something out of love and kind of the process behind it and then just how happy everybody is. And of course, we're talking about the Rise of Skywalker special features, which are out in the world now, and they are pretty great, Mike. They're really excellent.
Yeah, so Disney dropped the digital release of Rise of Skywalker a couple days early, and at the end of that, you've got your kind of making of special, and then another one dedicated to Johnny Williams.
Love that.
So the special, it's been about a week since I've watched it, so the details aren't super fresh in my mind, but it does kind of chronologically follow the story of Rise of Skywalker, and you get to see you know, kind of the behind the scenes of starting at concept art and all the way to what's happening off camera as they're filming. What were some of the immediate highlights for you?
Just off the top of my head, I really liked how they went really in depth with the stunts and special features, which was something that was nice to see. The stunts and special effects, and
the stunt coordinator, whose name I feel terrible for not remembering right now, She kind of stole the show. She was fantastic. Her personality and the way she communicated with the actors to own each stunt and, you know, put the emotion into each move, and there's a reason for all of it. She was awesome.
Eunice was her name. She had a super unique name. Yeah, just the stunts and kind of her hyping everybody up for stunts. But on top of that, like the JJ element, where it's like the amount of puppets and the amount of physicality on the sets with these stunts, people on wires, explosions, not a lot of CG as what you would think, which is great. My theories of Maz were confirmed with Maz being a puppet, super complex animatronic puppet. I was like, why does Maz look so much more real in this movie? I hate that that's what I thought, but that's what I thought. Not that Maz didn't look great in Force Awakens. You could actually argue she probably had higher level of animations and expressions, but something about her just looked so real in the scenes. And now they've confirmed that Maz in Rise of Skywalker was a full on puppet.
Well, she looks real in the scenes she's in Rise of Skywalker, because most of the time she was acting against Leia, who was not there.
That's true.
I say that with a little snark. Overall, I think they did a good job with putting Carrie Fisher into Rise of Skywalker. Not perfect, but as close as you're going to get, given the circumstances. And I enjoyed seeing the behind the scenes of the process of doing that, the interviews with Billy Lord.
That was a high point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the behind the scenes of Leia and Luke's duel, and of course Billy playing Leia in that scene, and just some really great moments. I really liked the very brief, but I did enjoy it, the very brief Ian segment about him returning as the Emperor.
Yes.
Getting to see that gothic Palpatine suit actually in light, seeing all the detail they did on it that we never see in the movie really. And just
take that, everyone.
Looks just like his action figure is what they say on the set, which is hilarious. Just that, and him talking about returning as Palpatine and how it was kind of his third time playing Palpatine, and you know, it's completely unexpected all three times, completely unbelievable that he got the part, and just how happy he was to return as the Emperor of the Universe. And so crazy that he was like a 30 guy in his 30s playing a 100-year-old man years ago, and George just saw a play and was like, that's the guy I want to play my 100-year-old Emperor of the Universe.
Well, and another character who had similar emotions to Ian was Anthony Daniels.
That's right.
Last time playing C-3PO. We got to see a lot of great footage back to young Anthony with his, you know, jet black hair getting crammed into the tin can back in the desert. I love how they interspersed all the old behind-the-scenes clips.
Yeah.
That got us some more Carrie interviews. Young Carrie was great to see stuck in there.
Always.
And young Luke also. I loved how Mark Hamill is just the nerd of the Star Wars cast. And he's like, well, I'm barely in this movie, but I'm going to go hang out in the creature shop today because I want to see how they do everything.
Oh, he's everywhere. I love it. And on the set when John Williams is recording the scores, he's just everywhere. He's having time of his life. And you're right, Mike. All the Luke content that was old that we'd never seen, other than maybe some of that celebration reel. They used some of the footage from the celebration reel.
Yeah.
That was unused footage before, which is great. But yeah, Mark has always been the nerd and the optimist. It's pretty clear. And you see a lot of that, and we saw some behind the scenes stuff, but you're right, they intercut really well. Like we see Daisy and Adam training, and then we see David Prowse and Mark training and stuff like that. It's really cool.
I bet Adam was happy to not be training in jeans that were quite that tight.
Oh yeah,
as they were wearing back in the 70s.
Hey man, it's the style. And I love that Eunice mentioned that Adam refused to let anyone do his stunts. He was like, I have to do the entire physicality Kylo in every shot. And that was a pretty interesting thing that came up in this documentary. Something we suspected. It's just funny that Adam even says in the documentary how he said bizarrely guarded he was with the character, and even just like stunt shots where there's no lines, he had to do it.
Yeah, it was nice that there was more of him in this.
There's not much of him in the scenes.
Yeah, like he's barely in the director and the Jedi, and I don't mean that as a slight, because that's kind of not the point of that particular documentary. He's not the director or the Jedi.
That's right.
But it was nice getting some behind the scenes quotes from him. I really enjoyed the creation of Babu Frick.
Oh man.
And then getting to see how the voice actor, she plays Moaning Myrtle. I don't have her name up in front of me. I'm a ill-prepared podcaster. But she learned how to control the puppet to make the, you know, dialogue match up with the puppet better. So it was easier to do like live and less to fix in post. And it was great. She was very entertaining just doing the voice just out of frame, controlling the mouth. She was cracking JJ up, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. JJ was having the time of his life this entire documentary. It makes me love the movie more. Even with his flaws, like JJ was just having so much fun and was so involved every step of the way. And so was everybody else. It's just like you said, JJ cracking up. That happens a lot in the documentary. He cracks up several times, various places. He's also very emotional other times, like when John's recording the music, we talked about John Williams doing new scores or new versions of Carrie's score and new versions of Ray's score. Now we have the heroic version of Ray's. And of course we cannot forget the heroic Ben Solo version of Kylo Ren's theme, which is always just such a unique, cool thing that you don't quite catch the first time enough. You catch it, but not full on. And every time I see the movie, I'm like, man, musically, that is so cool. Turning a dark side theme like that. Heroic.
Hey, we're back. It's been a while since we've had one of those. It's like all the podcasters in the universe are having to video instead of record together, and it's straining the systems of Skype and all these other platforms. Of course, you have the extra distraction there with you. This is snarky and is kind of a criticism of the movie, I guess. I think that Kelly Marie Tran might have had more lines in this behind-the-scenes thing than she did in the movie.
Oh, man.
Although I don't think she actually did, because if she did have more to say in the behind the scenes, we might have gotten more insight into her thoughts on maybe why she wasn't in the movie as much. But I bring that up because we got to see some honest stuff from Chris Terrio, the writer.
Yeah.
And Rose not being in the movie as much as you want, maybe not as much Reylo content as people wanted. You can disagree with the decisions that these people make for the movies, and that's fine. I disagree that Rose wasn't with their decision to keep Rose out of the action, at least for the Passana part of the mission. Or, you know, even though I love Claude, maybe that could have been Rose on the Falcon at the beginning.
Sure, yeah.
But you see in this documentary that all of these people love Star Wars. The work that went into it, it wasn't a decision made because they're a bad person that doesn't like your favorite character.
Yeah.
They're just decisions that you ultimately, or we as fans, ultimately end up disagreeing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to remember, that nobody's out to ruin Star Wars for you, but just other people are making it, and they're going to make different decisions than you. But we still see how passionate these people are about making a good film.
No, you're right, Mike. And I think Chris Terrio is a great example, because he is all over the documentary and he is very passionate. And it shows through.
Yeah, that poor guy's never going to want to work on Star Wars again after everything that came out after
the
movie.
Yeah. So, but overall, if you haven't watched the documentary, you absolutely should. I mean, there's so many things to talk about. Like, every minute of it is filled with information and footage and just great behind-the-scenes stuff and joy in everybody's faces. So, it's great. I loved every second of it.
The John Williams cameo gets its own little featurette showing how they find the 51 pieces of set decoration for his 51 Grammy nomination.
Insane.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I haven't watched it since then to see how many I can pick out in the movie. I'll watch it tomorrow because speaking of the physical release happening, since we're quarantined and my birthday's coming up, I decided, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm taking the plunge. I'm ordering the $250 Skywalker Saga, ooh, like 4K Blu-ray set. Supposed to have something like 27 discs in it. Maybe I'll do an unboxing or review or whatever here on the show.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it to get here and to watch Rise of Skywalker again and just kind of go back to the beginning and see what all of these look like in the glorious 4K Blu-ray definition.
Yeah.
This is unrelated to what I was just talking about, But it's the official review of the Corellian Spike from my wife, who took hers back upstairs.
Oh boy.
She says, "This drink is delicious. I'm going to need a new one from Jesse Weekly."
Okay. I'll do my best.
Perfect.
Pure Sabacc next. So.
Oh, nice.
Think of a name. But man, I'm just, my mind's stuck on that John Williams cameo, Mike, as we're here. And I feel like you and I still haven't talked about on the show yet about how it's pretty much like 90% confirmed that Dengar is still alive and he's in that scene. And it disturbs me, but I love it. Like, it's something out of like,
I don't know that it's 90, but it's a fun speculation, like Rex being on Endor.
But this was made now. And the dude's name is Hrothgar Bing. An old and experienced Corellian bounty hunter who's kept himself alive over the years by exchanging body parts for robot parts to keep himself alive, like a la Grievous style, which is so weird.
maybe he'll get a comic.
They kind of love Dengar in the new canon. We've talked about this, how much he pops up. So it wouldn't shock me. Oh man. But we'll see.
So that's kind of our thoughts on the behind the scenes for Rise of Skywalker. We're huge behind the scenes nerds. Obviously, we love that.
Never can get enough.
That's kind of all That's kind of all we had on our list of topics for today. Jesse, I'm glad that you and the baby, I want to see the baby, were able to hop on with me here for a little
Certainly.
Bit. And that you're able to give us a great drink recipe for the Corellian Spike. It's good.
Love it. Yeah, we're going to have to get this written down on paper and post on the Instagram and stuff. Maybe some monthly cocktails or something could be something we can get into on this show and on our social media. Just see people trying them. I would love it. So,
gotta survive quarantine somehow, people.
Yeah. Drinks that Lando would make. That's where we're starting. That was my inspiration
for
this.
What have we here? Oh, man. Well, as always, you can find us on social media at the Canon Cantina, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have our Star Wars March Madness voting going on Twitter. Sweet 16 ends tomorrow, and then I'll have a post in the next couple days about the round of 8 moving forward. We'll have our champion in the first part of April, so that should be exciting. And just check out anchor.fm/thecanoncantina. That's where you can find all of our episodes. You can send us a voice message there. If you feel like giving us a couple dollars each month for the show, you can actually contribute that there as well. And you can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever podcasts are sold. I think that's it. Jesse, you got anything else for today?
No, that's it. Just trying to get back in this podcast swing of things, Mike. My other show, Fury's Finest, has been a similar situation. Quarantine plus my co-host moving to a different state. And then, as you know...
Oh,
trying to telecommute, podcasting is always tough. It's always interesting, always a gear centric thing. But yeah, you can, if you're always looking for Marvel content, check out my podcast, Fury's Finest. We recently did Venom and Thor's about to come out. It's been super fun diving into these characters that have been around for so, so long. It's insane. Like, how long is...
I'm going to need a Nick Cage mod for this Ghost Rider that just got announced.
Oh my goodness. You should, because I think everyone's going to buy that Ghost Rider just to have on their desk, if anything. Yeah, insane. But it's a good time to be a Marvel fan, despite we talked about the woes of quarantine, Mike, and Black Widow has been postponed indefinitely.
Yeah. Hopefully it's able to hit theaters in the late summer or something.
Hopefully so.
Jesse, I'm proud of how awake and alert you were for this podcast recording. I remember... when I had my son and I tried to do podcasts in this time frame, and I think I repeated myself like every 5 minutes or whatever. So you've done a great job being here with us today.
keep being here.
That
in spirit, at least.
Well, that'll do it for us here in the Canon Cantina today. Cheers, everybody.
May the Force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.